We all got skills. We have talents and we have passions. But mine happens to be sex. This is the Fun Sexual Podcast with your oversharing swinky best friend, Majesty. And I'm talking sex and all of the ways and all of the things that make sex, well, fun. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Fun Sexual Podcast. It is me, your girl, Majesty, to my friends, homage to the good boys and girls of Mistress Majesty, aka the wholesome hoe, the sexy sweetheart, a fistful of fun, chocolate Velma, and the cultivator of good vibes. And if you are watching right now, you see I have a very handsome, very stylish, very nice bearded man on the couch with me. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, beautiful humans. My name is Brooklyn Lou, aka Well Known Tone. No more AKs after that.
No more Tenderoni Tony?
No, I don't like Tenderoni Tony. only because it gives away my age. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
don't nobody say Tenderoni.
The couple grazes might be
giving. Well, you know what I'm saying.
It's cute. I like it.
My little wisdoms.
I like it.
Sometimes they work.
It does.
But your names, you live up to them.
I try to.
No, you live up to them and exceed them in the coolest way possible.
Mm-hmm. Don't hype me up. Y'all know I don't know how to take a compliment. I'm really excited. I feel like this has been a very overdue episode, even just having you on the podcast, because let me tell y'all how I met Lou and who Lou is to me. I started going to parties at the TYP house in 2020, mm-hmm. late 2020. When they were just like the smaller gatherings, the really small intimate gatherings with the OGs. And so the TYP house is your event space. Do you want to explain what the TYP house is?
Sure. TYP stands for Tribu y Piel, which has evolved into Sucia Play. The space itself has evolved into Sucia NYC. Sucia NYC encompasses two parts of what we're doing. One part being Sucia Play, which relates directly to our play parties, anything sex positive related, and Sucia Dance, which is, you know, pretty straightforward for our DJ-oriented dance parties, for people who just want to get down and cut a rug.
And if you don't know what Sucia means dirty.
The feminine derivative.
Oh, the feminine derivative, okay.
Dirty girl.
Dirty dancing, dirty play. And yeah. Honestly, I have had some of my best moments, some of my favorite moments, almost all of my like best orgasms have happened in that space.
So, awesome.
Like, it's really special when I walk in there.
I think the vibe is there is very conducive to that kind of thing, you know? And you're a perfect fit into the place since you first came.
We're gonna talk about that. But before we get into that, I wanna start this episode with the Let Me Put You On segment. The Let Me Put You On segment is when I put people onto something different. It might be a book, yeah. It might be a toy, it might be a website, it might be an event or anything mm-hmm. like that. So I'm gonna put you guys on to Sucia, the Sucia house, the TYP house, Sucia Play, and all of the Sucia events. So do you wanna talk about the Sucia, like Sucia Sundays and the
For
Sucia?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we run a space, Sucia NYC, the intent behind it is to be a safe space for Black and brown women and our mm-hmm. LGBTQIA family. Mm-hmm. And in learning more about that, we realized that we can facilitate a space and let the humans populate it and make the space safe for themselves. And it's been a struggle because, you know, you got to know when to step in and when to step back, mm-hmm. you know? And we've been really lucky. The community has organically grown and policed itself very well. Sucia Sundays, every Sunday we feature a really dope dance party mm-hmm. with some of the dopest DJs mm-hmm. out there. You know, Gecko Jones is our house DJ. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to him. We got all kinds of dope cats. We got Pudge Mental. We got Mike Flo. We got Free Speech, Talim. Man, the list goes on and on. Those are the ones that jump to mind. And every Sunday, we open our doors up and people come and dance.
And we dance, and you dance until you're sweaty. Dance. And it's. I brought my mom to a Sucia Sunday actually
yeah.
a couple weeks ago because I had
Your
been begging
her.
I love her.
Hey, mom.
I love her.
Oh, adorable.
But I brought my mom to a Sucia because every Sunday I'm leaving and I'm like, you know, I'm going to Brooklyn, or if I'm spending the weekend in Brooklyn, and she's like, well, what are you going to do on Sunday? I'm going to Sucia Sunday. She's like, what is this Sucia Sunday? So I had to just bring her. And as soon as she walked into this place and walked into the backyard and I showed her downstairs in the basement, she was like, I get it. Like, yeah. I get it. And then when she met you and met some of the other people, she was like, I you have a really, like, solid, dope group of people. And that was her, like, feeling more comfortable with me going away for 3 and 4, you know, days at a time and not really checking my phone because I'd be in the basement.
Yeah. Mom, you're taking good care of your daughter. She's safe.
We talked about it when we left, and she was like, you know, I can tell that you are, like, that you are being taken care of in that space. And I was like, because these people fucking love me. I was like, I know, like, you don't know them and stuff like that, and they're fairly new friends, but, like, these people, they love me. They adore me. And so that we're going to wrap up that part of the let me put you on segment, because you said something and I really want to talk about it. You were talking about creating a safe space, right? Mm-hmm. And when you are doing something, especially in the sex space, it's kind of, you teeter-totter a line a lot of times because you're like, is this okay? Is this not okay? What is okay? How do you say this? When is the right time? It's like a lot of back and forth and a lot of, you know, in and outs with that kind of thing. So what? How do you go about creating a safe space when there is sex involved?
Well, we've had the benefit of having it happen in a real organic fashion. Mm-hmm. We started out in a smaller apartment, inviting friends over.
I heard about those, and I wasn't there for that.
in Morgana's old apartment. And it was dope, and it was very intimate, and everybody knew each other. When we found the Sucia space, when Morgana found it,
I got you.
She pushed for us to take it, and we took it, and that's when it really hit us. It's like, okay, it's going to get bigger. We've spent years in the community, helping to curate it, helping to build it. So we were able to get what I always refer to as the bouillon, you know, which is like the condensed spice, the people who know how to behave, mm-hmm. who understand the etiquette, mm-hmm. who know what it means to hold space with compassion and with love for the people inside there. So we've been lucky in that aspect. So when it came to streamlining and discussing about rules, discussing about etiquette, it was a lot easier because everyone in the community had some kind of input. Mm-hmm. The drivers in the community are going to be, you know, people like Pam and X, mm-hmm. you know, who we started doing the parties with.
Love you, Pam and X.
Yeah, that's a primary couple. We've been rocking them for years. In terms of rules and what they look like and how they feel in a sex positive space, mm-hmm. it can be tricky. It could be especially tricky if you're just starting.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know, and you don't have any real passion for the lifestyle, mm-hmm. or for the people associated with it. And I get it. For some people, it's a business and it's a business venture, and you know. But for me personally, and for the people I'm involved with, we don't see other humans as numbers.
Yes, or dollar signs.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where we definitely have, up until now, because now with intention, we want to grow it a little more.
Yes, for sure.
But we've kept it small on purpose.
And I think that is like a really, first of all, COVID opened up a new avenue for me when it came to like the smaller like play mm-hmm. events. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed the smaller play events until it was hard to, you know, get 50 people together. And so it's like 10 of us. And those events and those parties tend to be like the best. Like I don't know, you're just more open, you're more comfortable, you usually know the people a little bit more. So like mm-hmm. the smaller events honestly are where it's at. But I've had this conversation with a couple people about how there's a lot of people that come into like hosting events and hosting play parties and they want to make the money from it. Yeah. Yes, there is money that you can make, but if you are not putting that level of detail and care and vetting people and, you know, all of those things in there, it's just not going to be right. And especially when you have new people coming in, I always hate to say the wrong way, but you're teaching them the wrong way. There is, to some degree, a right, and there's a lot of right ways and a lot of wrong ways, but there are still things that you just should not do and things that should not happen in like play spaces and things of that sort. So we're actually going to talk about that.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, like, what is a play party and like, how do I get into it? I don't know. Somebody emailed me yesterday and was like, I want to make sure that I'm going into this space and behaving appropriately. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. And this is a cishet man. What are some tips for the cishet men coming into play party spaces to you know, how to act or how to behave and how to respect the space?
Yeah, I think that's great that he was self-aware enough to ask that question. I tend to start with any space I go into, sex positive or not, mm-hmm. if I'm going to a community, what am I bringing to the community? Mm-hmm. What do I have to offer? And we want to relate directly to a sex positive situation. What are you bringing besides a hard dick and a smile?
Thank you.
You know, there's aftercare, there's conversations, there's all these things that are far more important than the physical act. Mm-hmm. And when all these steps are followed, it makes the physical act so much better. Taking heed to enthusiastic consent in all its forms and all its nuances.
Yes.
Knowing how to read the room.
Yes.
Maybe sometimes, actually, I always tell dudes, when you come, if it's your first time at a party, don't try to fuck. Talk to people.
Yes.
Talk to people. And honestly, sometimes not being the thirsty dude is a really good thing. You know? Because the girls will run through you and then they're
and
done.
And we're going to talk about you.
If you got nothing else to offer,
we're not going to be done.
I've seen it happen.
We're not going to be done, but we are going to talk about you in the group chat.
It's like a little lioness's dens and the cask.
Because, I mean,
the cast aside bones.
We are going to outfuck them.
That's another thing, too. It's like, fellas, like, come in to the space, mm-hmm. talk to people, feel the vibe out, get to know what people are about, have your bill of health on hand.
Yes.
You know, saying, hey, you know what? I've been recently tested. Here you go. Offer it up. Because the more information you give up pertaining to someone's safety, your safety, the better you position yourself.
Also, somebody who doesn't take care of themselves, if I see somebody that doesn't take care of themselves, they obviously don't give a fuck about it. If you don't care about yourself, you damn sure don't give a fuck about me and my health.
Definitely
so, like,
not.
That is important. That is extremely important. Even yesterday, a post came out on, like, the Shade Room or something like that, even though I don't follow those news media things, they come up sometimes. But there's a woman, some, like, Instagram model who hadn't gotten tested in 10 years. Now she has AIDS and almost like died from AIDS and is linked with all of these different celebrities. And it really blew my mind that there is someone out there that hasn't been, you've been a sexually active person. You're, you know, I'm say mid 20s, close to 30s. And you haven't been tested in 10 years. Mm. Getting tested is like one of the easiest things that you can do for yourself. I know for me, every time I go get tested, like there's this sigh of relief almost, like this, you know, I'm glad that I'm doing this thing for myself. I'm glad I'm doing this thing for my partners, because I want to know what's going on with my body, honestly, at all times.
Yeah. You know, it's once you take the first step just to go get tested, and I definitely feel in New York City, there are clinics that are super dope. You know, they're safe, they're clean. You don't got to show ID, you're in and out. Mm-hmm. You could get mad condoms, mad lube, whatever you need. They'll give it to you. They're understanding. There's no real judgment. And don't lie to your doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, let them know. I mean, when I go to the doctor, I let them know, like, hey, you know what? I do have different sexual partners. So does my fiance. And we may or may not have been exposed to this. Mm-hmm. And when you go get tested, there's certain things that you have to demand the full test.
Full.
Tell them, I've been exposed to it. Everything, even down to oral gonorrhea, because that's just a big thing.
I got tested yesterday, mm-hmm. and the ladies asked me, because she's asking me questions to see what test to give me, and I'm kind of like, test me for everything.
Yeah.
I run the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And she was asking if I, you know, do anal sex. Like, I have, but it's not something that I do or whatever. And then she was like, okay, so we're not going to do an anal swab. And I was like, why not? And she was like, because you're not having anal sex. But I was like, isn't oral gonorrhea a thing? And if somebody's eating my ass, can't I, you know, you're not asking. She wasn't asking the appropriate question. She was like, I mean, I guess that's right. And so she gave me the swab to go swab my butt. Yeah. But why, like, run the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Get
if,
all of
if
it.
If you ask them, they'll do it. Mm-hmm. Just say, hey, I've been exposed to it. You don't even got to get into it. Do you mind if I tell them where I go?
That's fine.
There's a place, Chelsea Sexual Health Clinic. And Chelsea is super dope, especially if you're not trying to see, like, all of Brooklyn. At the spot on the Flatbush Extension, which is also a great place. But Chelsea Sexual Health Clinic tends to have shorter lines. You walk in. I've walked out with test results. From the minute I walked in to walking out, maybe 45 minutes. You know, it's great. It's you know, cool experience.
I'm struggling right now. I have two cousins who are, you know, they got their boyfriends now. They're, you know, coming into adulthood. I know they're having sex. We don't talk about it, but I know they're having sex. Even though, like, I am the cool cousin.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to talk to me, but they don't want to talk to me, and that's fine. But, you know, I'm just talking about sexual health and sexual wellness and why it's important to do this and make sure your boyfriends are doing that. And I feel like everything I'm saying is just like...
100%. Yeah.
And it's so stressful because I'm like, girl, the clinic is 15 minutes from your house. It's free on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from this time to that time. Like, just go and tell your boyfriend, just go. And I think a lot of people struggle to have those conversations. So, how was that conversation had or brought up? Like, hey, babe, let's go get tested. Or like, even in play spaces, I know a lot of people, I've been, you know, on this brigade of like disclosure at play parties.
Yeah.
And I've incorporated it into my consent speech for my events, which also, let me say, you and Morgana have really, I've modeled to some degree my parties around the way you guys have done your parties. Even in the way that y'all used to like vet, where it was like kind of word of mouth vetting, slowly pulling people in. I don't do that necessarily, but the idea of the slow growth.
Yeah.
The slow organic growth and having a consent speech, because most places that I went to didn't express consent in the ways that y'all do. And that has like, to me, that is like the single most important thing
I've
at
been
a party.
I've been in places where the consent speech was literally, yo, we're all grown here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know how to act. All right, cool.
Yeah, I went to a party like 2 weeks ago, and that was, he did this long list, went through this long list of rules that sucked terribly, and then at the end was just like, and so like, you know, just make sure you ask, you know, just make sure you ask before you do anything. We all here, we're all full swap, and the women here are all bisexual, but just make sure that you ask so that they'll be okay with it. I'm like, that's, all right.
See, this thing about it, for me, a red flag for a party, a party that has a mandatory dress down,
me too,
it can be a red flag. And you tend to see that in parties where there isn't any real sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just an ad put up on FetLife and everybody shows up.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, you know, don't tell me how I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to be exactly the way I am.
And I'm going to do what I feel comfortable doing.
Exactly. So if I'm, you know, I'm not going to, obviously there are certain parties and I get it because the hosts aren't, the onus is always on the hosts to make sure the shit is tight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a bunch of dudes up in there and their Timberlands and fucking jeans and like hill figure fucking polos,
like,
you know, with their baseball hats on, like standing around
at the corner of the bed,
with their dicks in their hand, that is the host's fault.
I agree.
Because you're allowing dudes in who don't know how to act.
I agree. But even, let's not even make it all about the guys, because, you know, women do it too. Like, I know one point of frustration for me sometimes is, like, you are fully clothed, sitting on a bed, like, taking up fucking space. Like, just, you know, go, usually there's a place that you can sit. Go sit down in the sitting
area.
Space.
Yeah.
If you want a voyeur, that's also fine, but, like...
Don't gawk.
Don't gawk and don't, like, take up space to not...
But that's also part of the consent speech. Just letting people know, hey, it's okay to look. Don't gawk. And if you see someone having a scene, you know, casually glance over unless you have an agreement beforehand. Because some people like to show off and that's fine. Some people, this one right here.
It is I.
This one right here. Sounds like Maj.
It is I. Maj. So how did you even get into like the lifestyle at all? And when you say lifestyle is a very broad term. Where do you fit?
Specifically swinger.
Mm-hmm.
But then within that realm, it also intersects with polyamory, like big time.
Mm-hmm.
Like people who try to intellectualize a lifestyle want to box everything, but it all intersects.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There are swingers who like to do kink. There are kinksters who like to be into polyamory. They're swinger. You know, it's all these things. They intersect. Some people are strictly this.
Do you loop swinger under the kink umbrella? With BDSM?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? Okay.
That's me personally, because kink isn't always about sexual penetration or contact. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
With swingers, that's like, we there to fuck.
Yeah, we are.
We there to fuck. And I think there are more swingers who are into kinks than there are kinksters who are into swinging.
I'm going to go with, when you say into kinks, you mean like BDSM?
BDSM and stuff. And I've seen more swingers into that than I've seen hardcore BDSM cats.
Into swinging. I definitely agree with that.
Because that's a very particular, like, yo, this is my shit.
Yes.
This is where I'm at. I'm right here. Whereas, you know, it's
To each their own. Yeah, man, and the beautiful thing, there's no rule book necessarily. No. There's no specific path that you have to do. There's nothing necessarily that you have to be into. Like, you know, having a space that's very like inclusive and open and free where you can actually have an opportunity to experiment and say, I actually did not like that at all. Or I love that. I would like to do some more of that is like such a beautiful thing. And I wish more people had that. And that's why what you do is so like important to like the community and your feelings about community and being inclusive and creating safe spaces is like, that is why I rock with y'all so fucking
Thank
hard.
You.
That's
Thank
why
you.
I spend so much time. Like, I think I spent almost every weekend last summer Friday to Sunday over there.
I think one of the most important things, I think, for people to have a firm grasp of, besides enthusiastic consent, mm-hmm. besides asking, is knowing how to say no.
Absolutely.
Knowing how to say no without giving a fuck. Mm-hmm. Even when you said bring up the topic of getting tested, it's like, you know what? I think, it seems a lot of times it falls on the woman's hands to start that conversation, along with so many other things. You know, if the sister's like, let's get tested, that's it. There is no conversation about mm-hmm. that.
But it's also on the woman to stand firm in that.
But men should also... Definitely. Like, I think, let me retract. The impetus shouldn't be on the woman to find a nice way to say it. You know what I'm saying? I think it should just be like, hey, the guy or the woman are like, let's get tested.
Okay.
And that whole conversation thing is like, for me personally, it's how much more do we as men need to be catered to? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's even a simple ask. That's something that, okay, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, like that's something that we should just be doing anyway. Especially if you know that you are having sex with a lot of people and that you're having casual sex and all that stuff, like that's just something that that should just be a part of your wellness routine.
Routine, period.
Period.
Like,
period.
Like, oh, here you go. I got recent ones. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to? Okay. I don't mind taking 45. I don't mind taking a couple hours out of my day. Because I'm trying to smash. Like, straight up. Is it worth it?
And you just feel so much more comfortable. Like, you just feel so much better having the sex when once you've had that conversation. It just, that little bit of doubt or something in your mind is just kind of gone.
And I think also people just have to get comfortable with the thought of sex.
Yes.
That's a big thing.
Yes.
Like, before all the steps, before anything, be comfortable being a sexual being.
Yes.
Be comfortable with masturbation. Be comfortable with all the things. And I think on that journey, it becomes a lot easier to be like, hey, I need to get tested regularly because I am a sexual being. I am active. I rolled the die a lot. My 20s was reckless. Reckless. Like, I look back and I'm like, oh, my God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, you know? And I can't take that back. I can't take back some of the things that I may have put people in danger over mm-hmm. because I wasn't thinking or because I didn't want to take the time out. You know, so you also want to avoid that too. You also want to avoid the whole, I just smashed raw. Oh, and then try to push it out your mind and go out, you know what I'm saying? Go about your day. And the next thing you know, it's like you pushed it so far back, you think it's gone, but it's still there. Yeah. Just get tested.
It's the easiest thing to do. Like, there's no shame associated with it. Like, honestly, when I went to the clinic yesterday, I saw there was a guy in line behind me. He had a mask on, but I was like, I wonder what he looked like under that mask. Something about like, look at you taking care of yourself. This is what I like. Like, what's your name? Take your mask down. Let me see your face a little bit. But that's something really sexy. But you're saying like, people need to get comfortable with like sex and being sexual beings. Like the amount of times that I hear grown people refer to sex as like doing it. Or like, you know, they say these other things instead of just saying, like, say, you can say the word sex. Almost all of us are a product of sex. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. There's no shame that we all do it. We all want to do it. It's on most people's minds. Some like 75% of the, you know, the day, it's a normal thing. That might be a lot.
Not for men. It's a lot.
I mean, I definitely think about sex quite a lot, but I mean, the nature of like the podcast and the shit that I do, I feel like I kind of have to, but
I think you'd be thinking about sex a lot, even about the podcast.
I probably would. Sex is honestly, it's one of my favorite parts of my life. It really is. Like,
if I could see a thought bubble on top of you, I see like vaginas and penises with wings.
like little angels. Cherubs.
flying around in clouds.
Very accurate, but not even sex on like a raunchy standpoint. Like, yeah, I just enjoy talking about sex. I like hearing about other people's sex and stuff like that. So even like at events and stuff like that, I know a lot of times at your parties and stuff, you're busy hosting. What do you enjoy about, you know, even you're not even like usually playing and stuff like that. So like, what do you enjoy watching and just being in that sexual space, or what do you get out of that?
I enjoy knowing that I'm a part of a space where people feel comfortable, where people can be vulnerable. I enjoy hearing people come.
Yes!
Yes! Like, for me, that's like, yeah. There it goes. Get it. You know, the multi-orgasmic woman. Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's my main thing. I like being a part of that. I like the vibe of everything associated with this mm-hmm. shit. You know, I mean, I tend to prefer more intimate settings myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I identify as a demisexual, so I'm about connections and stuff. And sometimes I won't find that connection in a larger group, or I'm just busy.
I think I'm starting to lean demi a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I tried like the dick pill thing and. You know, try to smash, and I was like, I'm not very like, fuck, man. I just want to be in there fucking everybody. I'm like, but nah, because then it's like, it's sad. It's so sad, man. I'm just sitting there like, well, what did I accomplish? Like, what? Like, I shared my cookie with everybody. But I don't feel good.
I don't feel whole.
You know what I'm saying? It's so whack. It's so whack, yo.
I think it's a beautiful thing, honestly.
I mean, I've grown to appreciate it a lot. You know what I'm saying? I'm working. I'm working most. I'm making sure people are okay. Like, you're good. You're good. I like doing that.
And then even for the people that you do allow in, it is something, it is a treat for them. It is something special for them. You being somebody who is demisexual. It is something special for them. For you to allow them into your space and to engage with them in that way as well. So that's also a treat on both. You are a treat. You are really such a dope person. Like I genuinely love and respect you. Like,
thank you. I mean, so
like,
much.
You know, I try to express as best I can, but like, even so, my favorite part about parties and I think I've told you this before. It's like after the party's over, it's like 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, and everybody's kind of just like talking, might be having a drink, might be smoking, we're trying to order some food and stuff like right. that. That is like my favorite part of the party. Everybody's kind of just chilling, and it's just, you know, everybody's spent, you got your bottoms on and your top off, or you're just naked and wrapped in a blanket and you're cuddling with somebody. Like, that is my favorite part of parties and events. And I remember one time last year, this was when I was like, yo, I fucking love it here. I love these people. I'm sold. I had just found out that I had just gotten my breast reduction. I had just found out that I had ADHD and I was taking Adderall. People don't tell you that when you take, like behavioral meds and stuff like that, you have to find your dosage. So like, there's a period of like, let's try this. Okay, let's back it out. Let's try this type and this type. And so I was in that limbo phase of not knowing what was going on. And my dosage of Adderall got so high that I was having like anxiety, like through the fucking roof. It was really, really bad. It was so fucking bad. And I remember one night, it was probably like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. We were all sitting downstairs and we're on Uber each trying to figure out like what we want to eat. And somebody like handed me the phone. And whatever restaurant y'all picked had like a million options, and I couldn't, like, I was looking at it, but my brain, it was so much anxiety to pick a meal, and nobody's like, pick it now. I just like kind of froze up, and I was just like, I just couldn't do it. And I remember you like, it was, you know, I never try to let people know when I'm having like an anxiety attack. I try to like, you know, keep it down or whatever. But I remember you like, you looked at me, you're like, do you want to, like, you said you haven't eaten all day. Like, do you want to eat? And I was like, yeah, but like, I can't figure out what to eat. You're like, so, hey, so what do you like? Do you like bagels? Do you like sandwiches? And you kind of like coached me through this like anxiety attack that I was having in like the most gentle and like kind way. And I was just like, I feel so taken care of and loved here. Most people would have just been like, all right, fuck it, don't eat. And like, kept it moving. But you know, you obviously didn't even notice that I was having that moment, but that was like something that was super special to me because I usually try like to deal with my shit on my own. And I usually don't like rely on people to help me go through those moments and stuff like that. I feel like I'm supposed to be able to regulate that kind of stuff and handle that stuff on my own. But you did a very good
I think with community, that's one of the perks of being a part of a community mm-hmm. is that you can be who you are in that moment and be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest lesson I learned about the community was when Morgana had her accident. Mm. And she's very much like, you know, self-sufficient to a fault. Like, yo, I got, I don't need nobody, you know? Like, and when she realized she had spent so much time working on the community and helping people, mm-hmm. like going above and beyond to help people, that when it was time for her to receive it, she didn't know
what you to know. Do.
And then when she allowed it, because I had to talk to her, I was like, yo, listen, let the community show the love. They came together. You know, they came together and like it blew my mind, you know, but it let me know that, okay, cool, we are part of a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's funny, I was talking to was it Morgana, really quickly about being a community leader mm-hmm. and how to separate yourself and from how to not project what you want on the community.
Okay.
And allow the community to tell you what the community wants.
Do you feel like as a leader, you have to do that? Because I feel like to some degree, you have to, as a community leader, you kind of have to set the pace or
I think
gear towards a direction.
I think there's a natural vibe with that mm-hmm. and then there are situations where like, yo, this is my shit, I'm gonna do how I want it. And that to me is like, and I feel those vibes when I walk into places mm-hmm. like, okay, this is your shit, you can do what you want, this is like, this party's about you mm-hmm. this event is about you mm-hmm. whereas like we try to be really conscious about this party is not about us, this party is about the people inside here mm-hmm. and yeah, there are certain things that we may implement because we've seen things go wrong and certain, mm-hmm. then yeah. But I think it's just important, you know, if you're doing events, ask yourself, why are you doing them? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to make money only? Are you trying to create community? Mm-hmm. And understand that you're creating spaces where so many traumatic things could happen.
Absolutely.
All right? Your reputation is on the line. And more importantly, fuck your reputation, people are on the
line.
Their
lives, their health, their wellness, their mental wellness.
That's on the line. Yes. So you got to be really careful. Like, just because you throw a sex party doesn't mean that you know what the fuck you're doing. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. There are people who've been doing it wrong for years. You know?
And there are people that are learning from those people that are doing it wrong and taking their bad habits elsewhere.
Exactly. You know?
And part of being a community leader is, you know, even sometimes telling people no or excluding people out of events and spaces like that.
Yeah.
What does that usually look like when that has to happen?
Well, what happens is if, you know, and I really got to thank X for this. X is really big on pulling people in closer. And we try to do that when it's applicable. You know, if there's some kind of a violation or even violent language in a group chat or homophobic, transphobic, racist language, even in the men's chat. Like, it's a beautiful thing because the guys are really quick, like, yo, that sounded kind of violent. That's pretty transphobic, bro, chill. Yeah. Like, relax, you know? And I was so happy. I was like, wow, look at that. Like, these brothers.
You didn't even have to step in and do it. It's self-corrected.
These brothers are on it. If there is a consent violation, just depending on severity of it, we don't ask the person who was... the one who was offended, mm-hmm. who was consent violated, we don't ask them to make a decision if they don't want to. It's not fair, mm-hmm. you know? So if there's room for, there's room to have a meeting and to figure things out for restorative justice, then we'll do that.
Do you feel like it is your responsibility as a community leader to be, you know, to head that kind of stuff, whatever
mediations
or conversations? Yes.
At least facilitate it.
Yes.
Like, I don't need to head it, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that's not important. I just think it's important to know that it's happening and that people see it's happening and that no one is above that shit, you know? I've been in situations and I was like, look, is there room for restored, like, is there a need for restorative justice? If there is, and I will submit to that shit. Like that, you know? Another thing, too, in communities, listen to the women.
Oh, yes. My next question for you was going to be, how do you create safe spaces for Black women? Or how do you show up for Black women in these spaces, Black women specifically in these spaces? Well, and why is that important?
We're not creating the space. We're facilitating it.
Okay.
The space is there. Sisters have shown you're more than capable of raising us, taking care of us, and taking care of yourself, and building nations. It's not like we need to be in there doing shit. All like, look, here's a space. The focus is on your comfortability, on your allowing you to not allowing. I hate using that word. Just facilitating.
This is why I love
a
you,
space. Man. No, it's important to be. It's important, like, as a man, to take my male ownership out the ship. You know, I'm learning a lot about that. It's like, here's the space. It's a safe space. It's up to y'all to make it a brave space. You know, also, I definitely feel like we defer a lot to the women in the group if there's shit going on. Like, I think you know about some violations or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, what do the ladies think?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and I made the mistake once of saying, yo, man, look, all right, ladies. Look, and this shit blew up on my face. Like, psh, I was like, okay, you know, my bad. I need to listen to y'all. And that's basically it. But that's community. You know, that's, you know, a good leader also is a good follower.
Yes.
You know, so it's like.
I think sometimes people feel like, you know, as a leader, they don't have to listen to, you know, the people. But I think that even when it comes to Black women specifically, being the, what did Malcolm X say, the Black woman is the most disrespected person on earth. Like, when you can show the utmost respect to the person who is oftentimes looked at as inferior, when you can show them the utmost respect, you are setting a precedent that this is how we treat everybody.
Yeah.
And that is so, so very important, you know, especially for a black kink space and space where sex is, again, there's so many traumatic things can happen. Like, I've seen people, you know, full out crying, you know, at play parties, good crying and bad crying. I've seen people, you know, just, you know, on both ends of being really, really good or having a really, really bad moment. And it's so important to, like, you know, respect people where they are, to, you know, help people in those moments, and just to come together, like, as a community.
100%. You know, and I want to double down on what you said in a different way about Black women. You, if sisters are fine, if sisters are feeling great and feeling respected, you know everyone else in the room. You know for a fact.
We gonna hold it down for everybody else.
Everybody. If you see when one of our trans family in the group fucking feeling free as fuck and living their life in the moment, then you know it's safe for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not safe for transphobic and homophobic motherfuckers, you know, but we don't allow them in any way.
Exactly. And even having that mindset, being transphobic or homophobic in a space that's so open and accepting, you even bringing that energy into the space will, I didn't realize how instantaneously it'll fuck you up. Well, it fucked me up going into a party and somebody was like, I ain't with none of that gay shit. And I was like, whoa, what? At first, how you even get there? No one's even trying to touch you.
Let me ask you a question. Whenever I hear shit like that, I always look at the mouth it's coming out of. And I'm like, nigga, look at you. Look at you. Like, take a serious look at yourself.
Yes.
Who are you?
Yes. And why do you feel the need to show up in that way?
Like,
No one was attacking your manhood. No one was saying that you were anything that you were not, you know? No, like,
no, man.
Why did you feel the need to, like, it's just ignorant. And
well, you know, this is another reason why it's even more important for us as Black and brown people to have our own spaces, is because we have a whole other ton of hangups dealing with culturally, you know, whether you're from the Caribbean or from Africa or Latino, you know, there is a lot of judgment, you know, as Black people. Like, you know, people always talk about how free Europe is. Like, yeah, they've had the opportunity to chill the fuck out and evolve sexually and sensually, you know? We haven't, you know, as a whole people. And I could tell in conversations, I could tell by the reaction, visceral reactions from people, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Sex positive, what the fuck is that? You gay nigga? And like, well, does it matter if I am or I'm not? I'm talking about being sex positive, and it's a pretty large umbrella.
But what it comes down to is mind your fucking bit. Like, if it, I always tell people, if it doesn't affect your money, it doesn't affect your time, it's not affecting your happiness, you know, it's not bothering you, like, leave it alone. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing with their parts. Well,
it challenges them. It challenges them. It's crazy because, you know, there's, and I've even heard this from, like for me, the worst is the pro-black cats.
What you mean?
Who cut it. Who stopped being pro-black when it comes to gayness our LGBTQ high families. Like, real, like, whoa.
How is that the thing that took it to the other side?
What the fuck are you talking about, bro? Like, that shit is, I don't know, man. Just growing up where I grew up and hearing the conversations and then hearing and or seeing and dealing with my own homophobia, you know? Like, I thought I was good, you know? Like, I didn't realize the kind of language I used until, like, my son came out to me when he was 11 years old. And I had a really...
11?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's my little dude, man. So fucking cool.
He is cool.
But I had to sit and be like, whoa, why am I using gay to describe everything bad? Like, oh, shit is gay. You know what I'm saying? Like, would I say it in front of my son? Like, no. What do I want him to get used to hearing that kind of language? Nah. Now, if he wants to use it with his friends, I don't give a fuck. I know for me, you know? And it forced me to really examine, like, a lot of the homophobias. Just like dealing with the community that's, we try to put the focus on women, the sexisms I carry. You know what I'm saying? Men, it's just ingrained in our DNA.
It's funny that you say that because I've been, over the last couple months, I've been realizing that I am a very sex positive person, but I did do a bit of slut shaming in my time. And in my time, I'm 28.
All right, miss.
I did do a bit of slut shaming, and I think it was so ingrained, and even like in the way that I dress. I grew up in an Islamic household, and even still, a lot of my family doesn't practice, but there are still just, you know, cultural things that we just, you know, still do or whatever. And I realized that even in the way that I was dressing, I dressed a fairly conservative because there was always this, I have to maintain this level of modesty to be, you know, looked at as a respected person. Or, you know, I would see women dressed real skimpy and be like, like, what kind of attention is she trying to grab? And I was doing a lot of like slut shaming things, as to where now I think I've become so comfortable with who I am as a person, as a woman, as a black woman, as a sexual being. I'm so comfortable with where I am that I'm not as worried about how I look and how that presents to somebody else. Because anybody who, I can be dressed however the fuck I want to dress, anybody who's actually taking the time to like sit down and get to know me.
And you know what's crazy? That is such a danger to the status quo. Like, you are a threat to the status quo big time.
I like that.
Like, for a sister, first off, to be on this journey solo, the way you've been rocking, I'm like, what? Gangster as fuck. Like, up in here owning it on top of that. Unapologetically so, irreverently so, that is threatening to men, it's threatening to women, it's threatening to the status quo. And I don't mean all men and women. I'm talking about the ones that, you know,
that don't get it.
That don't get it, that would rather, and I was there too, that would rather, like, fuck mad people without telling any one of them, you know, and carry it. Like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, bro. I've been there. Like keeping up with my fucking lies and shit. Excuse me, I could just been like, hey, I'm fucking other people. Let me do it ethically.
But also, let me be okay with you doing it. Let's have a conversation and see what that looks like.
Oh, with selfish niggas?
I know how that goes.
I said it on another conversation. It's really rare. Like the number of conversations I've had with women who've been in the community who were like, hey, Luis, can you talk to my man because he seems to think I only want to fuck women and him. And it's tough because it's like, honestly, there's nothing that I could say to make it anymore. If anything, they'll probably double down on their stance. So if you're coming into the lifestyle, ladies, get into it because you want to, not because you're trying to please your boyfriend. Fellas, don't lie to yourselves. Like, they may love the fuck out of you, but you're probably not the best dick they ever had or ever will have. get used to that.
That's going to shake some tables at home.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying they love you. Love is a different thing. You know what I'm saying?
That if, ego, though.
If you want your fantasies to be facilitated and to be respected and to come true, then it's only right that you allow room for her fantasies mm-hmm. as well. And I see that. Like, I see, like, women that are just, like, scared to tell their boyfriends in a lifestyle that, yo, I'm tired of eating pussy. Like, I'm just tired of, like, Jesus fucking Christ. I'm just always in here, and there's all these beautiful men all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Beautiful.
That also...
Beautiful. Y'all got the most attractive people. I don't care what nobody say. Y'all got the most attractive people at y'all parties and events. Well,
you know why? Because people are happy in there. Happiness and a positive mind state absolutely. Adds so much. Because you can take a really gorgeous person, fully clothed, and strip them naked. And if they're not confident in themselves, they're not going to shine like the person next to them who may be considered by whatever standards of beauty to be average. Mm-hmm. But when they're in their fucking space...
I mean, it's the sexiest place in the world. You can't not feel sexy.
Yeah.
Like nah, you can't, yeah. Even if you're just there, eye fucking yourself in the mirror, like you can't not feel sexy in that space.
No, definitely. I've had people walk in and be like, "Yo, what the fuck?" My chakras are fucking realigning with this bitch. Like,
I'm buzzing right now.
Right.
I'm buzzing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you ever see things at like because I mean you use the space for your own events, you also rent out the space for other people. Do you ever like see things when you're like, "Whoa"? Do you still see things, or is everything kind of like washed at this point?
Because I see everything. As much as I'm able to, mm-hmm. you know, wherever my attention focus, I pay attention to the way other people run parties mm-hmm. because there's always room to learn. Mm-hmm. I pay attention to other consent speeches.
What does a good consent speech entail?
Oh, man. A good consent speech is connecting with people. Mm-hmm. Talking to them, not at them. Do not fucking dump a bunch of information on people. There's the the OCD one, the OCD consent speech where they they go down all the shit and no one's listening after mm-hmm. a while, and it's like it's kind of like throwing information makes people feel safe. I prefer a quick 5 minute, even less than that, touch on what enthusiastic consent means and how it operates in a safe space and in a sex positive space. Touch on the way liquor and drugs could affect that. Mm-hmm. Touch on the importance of making sure the person next to you is treated like the most important person in the room. Mm-hmm. Touch on house rules. And, you know, at least for me, I've been doing consent speeches for a while, so I know how to, you know, condense it. Thank you. Thank you. But, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've seen 20-minute consent speeches.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I've seen, like, just like, oh, my God. It's kind of, and I get it. People want to be thorough, and I get it.
Absolutely.
But sometimes it kind of tiptoes into the self-serving part. Like, mm-hmm. you just like hearing your voice? Like,
maybe a little bit.
Like
I don't
know.
Bit,
you know.
I don't know.
But I enjoy what you've been doing with Morgana. Mm-hmm. You know? That ladies' party.
The Femstations play party was amazing.
I heard so much about it. I came home late.
I was like, what are you doing here? He was like, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Man, let me tell you, I left the house at 9 o'clock. I went to see Thor Love and Thunder or whatever. And then I realized, oh, this movie's only 2 hours long.
Gotta kill someone with that.
Yo, I walked around for 6 hours. I had nowhere to go. I was like, I could go uptown to my brother's house, but then I want to go back home after. And then I'm like, all right. I sat in the park. And it drizzled on me.
No!
No, I just sat there. You know, walk around. I don't drink. So it's not like I'm not going to the bar. I was like, I can't go to a bar. What am I going to do in the bar? The bar's obnoxiously crowded right now. Yeah. It's fucking Saturday. But when I came
You came, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what are you doing?
I just wanted to go to my room. Leave me alone.
What are you doing? You was like, I'm going to bed. It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Fuck y'all. Like,
but no, that party was amazing. We're actually, you know, in the talks of doing another one because it was beautiful. Even for the people who, you know, don't identify, you know, identify as straight, you know, that came to the party because they wanted to be in lingerie and feel sexy and in a very like low pressure.
It's needed.
Yes.
That kind of situation is needed. And if my penis doesn't belong there, it doesn't belong there. That's basically it.
The funny thing is that a lot of the women were like, this was great and I loved it and it was amazing.
But want some dick. I was like,
I can see that as well. Some dick would be the cherry on top and I would sleep very well tonight.
Yeah, it's funny when the thought of the girls' party, the conversation was coming up. And I was talking to fellas like, yo, fuck that, we should throw...
We should throw all guys party.
We're good. Like we all show up and be like, we didn't think this through.
So y'all can just come together and commune as brothers and I don't know, game night. I don't know what the fuck would happen.
We've had fellas. We do have guys' nights out. Okay. And it's very like, you know, 20 dudes and a bucket of potato chips.
I like that.
I was like, we like some iced tea.
That
sounds some video
like a,
games,
that's
some good
not a
conversation.
That's so, but some, I think people think that it's always gonna, you know, it's always supposed to be about sex. It's always,
nah, actually, it really that's the least. But man, we've gone. You've gone on some of our trips, right?
I've never been invited on a trip. Y'all told me about your hiking trip.
Yo, we went hiking. We went nude hiking upstate on mushrooms. About 30 of us.
These are the experiences that I want.
Yeah, well, we're gonna do it again this summer towards the end when we like get past
cool
August.
Down a little bit.
It cools down a little bit. You know. Sleepovers,
yeah.
Hikes. Have you gone on the hikes?
No.
Oh, there was.
Y'all only invite me over when my coochie is into play. Okay.
Well, it's you know,
it's fun time.
It's in demand.
It's a fun time.
It's in demand. But we do hikes. We do a lot of social shit. You know, we've gone to a couple of plays, musicals. I mean, it's that's the thing about community. It's like what you're gonna experience at Susia play is gonna be completely different. If you like that anonymous, just run in and fucking run out, that's fine. There's plenty of places for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I encourage you to go check them out. I always encourage people, hey, you know what? Go see other parties.
Yes.
if our party is the first one you come to, it's going to fuck up your experience for other events. It definitely will.
Sets the bar very high.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes it's okay to be in a little ratchet situation.
Absolutely.
As long as it's safe. If it's safe and consensual, then cool. They go do some ratchety shit in a fucked up little basement, you know. Not my thing.
Not my thing.
But there's a place for that. There's
absolutely
a time and a place for that.
Absolutely. I was supposed to do an icebreaker to start this episode off, but we kind of just got into it, which is fine. And so we're gonna do the icebreaker now.
All right.
So I wanted to play two truths and a lie. If you don't have yours, I can go ahead and run through mine and see.
All right.
Run through mine.
Run through yours.
Okay. You have to guess which one is the lie. I use men's body wash. I wasn't allowed to wear pants until I was 10. And I used to have a rabbit named Moesha.
Which is the truth?
Which one is the lie? I use men's body wash. I wasn't allowed to wear pants until I was 10. And I used to have a rabbit named Moesha.
Men's body wash.
The lie is I wasn't allowed to wear pants until I was 10. I was allowed to wear pants.
Really?
Yeah, and I did have a rabbit named Moesha.
Okay. So you didn't grow up in a hardcore Muslim household?
No. So I did go to like an Islamic school. My family practices and stuff like that. But as we got older, and I never really denounced Islam, but I just realized that religion wasn't going to be the thing that kept me on track.
My uneducated, ignorant ass. I just pictured you like in total cute little thing. Like just
I covered. I definitely covered. You know, I wore my kimars and my overgarments, and we were some fly Muslims. But my mom was never really that strict on us. Yeah, my mom was just never really
let
that strict
on us. Let her wear pants and play.
Let me wear. I was actually a hardcore tomboy. My mother thought I was going to be like a stud for probably my whole life, most of my life.
A combination of all of it.
All of it.
All right, so two truths and a lie, right? Mm-hmm. I lost my virginity in Panama. My first kiss was in Mexico. And I graduated college.
First kiss was in Mexico. is a lie. Truth. Lost her virginity in Panama.
That's the truth.
That's true. You graduated
college. I dropped out of college.
Okay. That was, I don't think we've ever really had conversations around like education and stuff like that. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Well, y'all, Lou is going to do me a favor. He's going to do y'all a favor, and he is going to add a song to the Fun Sexual playlist. What is the playlist? It is my Spotify and Apple Music list of songs to play to. This week, we are adding what song to the playlist?
I really enjoy listening to Beautiful by Michelle Indigiocello. It's a super sensual song, super slow, and it's a great song to pace yourself to.
I like that.
Pace. It's all about the pace.
I like that a lot. We're going to be adding that song to the playlist. I don't know that song, so I'm really excited to check that one out. That's awesome. And before we get out, would you like to leave people with a tip, an affirmation, or just anything that you want them to know?
Before the tip, if you're interested in checking our parties out.
I was going to drop that at the end.
Okay.
Do it.
I'm trying to stay on brand,
girl. I got you, baby.
Okay. info@suciannyc.com. If you're interested in the dance parties, put dance in the subject. If you're interested in our play parties, put play in the subject, and we'll get back to you with the vetting form if it's for the play. For the dance, we'll just get back to you with information. You come through, hang out, party, and we also vet people at our parties.
Oh yeah, for the other parties.
You know, we'd be looking like, oh, maybe that person right there may be open to a little something, and you know, and affirmation. If you're new to the lifestyle, don't be afraid to communicate what you feel ad nauseum. All right? Let people know how you feel and check in with your partner.
Mm-hmm. And even just letting people know what you want. You can't get what you want unless you're like vocalizing what it is that you want or need.
That's super important. I learned that the hard way. It's like definitely, especially I think men may have a problem with that sometimes. Being verbal, like, yeah, I like this. Can we make it about me? Mm-hmm. Do it.
For sure.
Do it, man. Do it.
For sure. You know? It's about the pleasure. It's about the experience and enjoying yourself. So definitely go after the things that you want. Thank you so much, Lou. It's been well overdue, so I'm glad to have had you on the podcast.
Yes.
Definitely check out Lou. Check out the Susia play. Check out the Susia dance. And y'all can always, of course, find me on Instagram @TheFunSexual and on Twitter. You can also find me on YouTube if you want to watch the episode. YouTube, look up The Fun Sexual Podcast. And y'all can find me on Excite Money @WhatWouldMaj Do.
What?
And that's all I got. And so we're going to peace out.